It's 8:50 and time now for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Calls for Midwest direct hog markets today are narrowly mixed, but there is an overall bearish bias to them. Terminals are called steady to a dollar lower, with tops from $35.50 to $38.50. Peoria steady today, with a top price of $35.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, October 18th, negotiated swine purchases were 22,209 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $42.50 to $58.11. The weighted average $55.19, a gain of $2.39 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $34.84 to $48.50. The weighted average $45.05. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 18,752. The base price range, $42.25 to $61. The weighted average, $57.28, a gain of 58 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $37.89 to $49, and the weighted average was $47.30. Joining us now in the studio with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Jay Searles. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Dave. How you been?
I've been good. How about you?
Excellent. Doing excellent. Some rain and showers and thunderstorms moved across Illinois, bringing a pretty good soaking to the end of the growing season in some places across the Midwest, and we'll continue to see the threat for rain and showers off and on over the next 2 weeks, it looks like. No big changes in the weather pattern. Some fast-moving weather systems moving in from west to east will keep rainfall amounts average to a little bit above average, I think, for much of the Midwest and even moving into the southeast. Now, we have the parched areas of much of the southeast and the Delta region really being dry. Of course, Atlanta and the city of Atlanta under water restrictions and major water restrictions over parts of Georgia. Some of that may see some easing over the next 2 weeks as well as we start to get some of the trailing thunderstorms rolling into much of the southeast, and it could bring some soaking rains down there, which would be great news. As we head overseas to South America, scattered showers and thunderstorms for Brazil occurred across 40% of the crop areas Thursday into early today, and considerable missing rainfall temperature and data that was noted. So we're relying on satellite imagery suggesting rainfalls from about 0.6 inch was most common to some localized amounts over an inch in eastern Mato Grosso, Goiás, and southern Minas Gerais. Highs were in the 80s and 90s, except in the far south, where some 70-degree readings were noted. Today's forecast is quite similar to that of Thursday. Rain will impact most of Brazil's key crop areas at one time or another over the next 2 weeks, with the possible exception of Tocantins and Bahia and the northernmost part of Minas Gerais, where rainfall may not be significant enough to induce any improvement into soil moisture. Heavy rain is possible, though, during the Tuesday through Friday period of next week, especially from southern Minas Gerais to Mato Grosso, and some locations in southern Minas Gerais and Sao Paulo could end up with 4 to 5 inches of rainfall during the next week to 10 days. As far as we go elsewhere in South America, we check out Argentina. No precipitation fell across the nation on Thursday. High temperatures were in the 70s to around 80 in the north, with lows in the mornings were well above the frost threshold. Some timing change was made for rain events in the second week of the two-week forecast. Otherwise, no significant change in the weather occurred overnight. Alternating periods of rain and sunshine will translate into favorable planting conditions for corn and sunseed while maintaining a good environment for the advancement of the winter wheat. So temperatures are going to be in the 70s and 80s, a few 90s in the far north, and will be above the frost threshold again. As far as we're looking now into the U.S. Midwest, again, rain fell across much of the Midwest, 75 to 80% of the Corn Belt. And today's forecast has changed once again for next week due to the return of the cutoff low pressure system. So we've got some alternating forecasts. We'll have one system move through rather quickly on Monday, bringing showers and thunderstorms, then another system bringing in behind it. But that one is expected to be turned into what we call a cutoff low, which could bring some significant soaking rains to much of the Midwest as we get into the end part of next week. And that could spell a little bit more flooding potential in some areas of the Midwest. And elsewhere around the world, if we go on and check into the U.S. Delta Southeast, once again, expecting the improvement of some improvement to the drought conditions down there. Cotton will be the most vulnerable crop to this wet weather bias, but unharvested soybeans will also see quality declines, especially rainfall will set the stage for good conditions in the winter wheat development once the fields dry out enough planting to occur. And a quick look, we have Australia. Mostly dry weather occurred Thursday. Rain was limited to the southwest Victoria. Thursday amounts reached a quarter of an inch. High temperatures were in the upper 60s and 70s. And the western part of Australia, 90s in the southeastern part of Queensland. Eastern Australia is much wetter in today's forecast relative to that of Thursday. Rain falls in Queensland and eastern New South Wales Tuesday through Thursday next week with a quarter to three-quarters of an inch local amounts, 1 inch to 2 inches possible with some heavier precipitation. But that's a look at the agricultural forecast and weather. I'm meteorologist Jay Searles.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 839, unchanged. Last trade up 12 and a half July. No, let's take out the March in Kansas City at 846, down a quarter. Last trade up 11 and three quarters. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 827, up one and a half. Last trade up 13 and a quarter. July, 672 and three quarters, down two and three quarters. Last trade up 10 and a quarter. December corn opened at 366 and a half, down three quarters. Last trade up two. July, $4 and a half, down one and three quarters. Last trade up one and three quarters. November beans open at 987 and three quarters, down three and a half. Last trade down one and a quarter. July, 1029 and a half, down two. Last trade down one and a half. December soybean meal open at 278, down 10. Last trade up 20. December soybean oil opened at 4084, down seven. Last trade down five. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave.
I want to start with the soybeans this morning. Crude oil, all-time highs overnight, 90.07 on the tick there. The U.S. dollar making all-time lows this week. Gold at 28-year highs. The bean oil, 23-year highs yesterday. Is there any reason not to have optimism that November makes new contract highs before it goes off the board?
Oh, no, and I'm certainly optimistic about that. I see an inverted head and shoulders building on the charts for November, and if we close that market above 996 and three quarters, we have 1037 and a half as an objective, and that is a new contract high. I think we're going to temper it a little bit maybe on the increased acres that the USDA came out with yesterday, but I don't think the market is prepared at this early date to even deal with that just yet.
Keith Collins saying 6 million more planted acres for soybeans in 2007-2008, right?
Right.
Let's go ahead then and turn our attention to the corn, where overnight we came within a quarter cent on the December chart of filling a big gap left there.
Well, when you look at the corn, I think that there's plenty of reason to believe there's strength there. You know, we've still got the heavy rains that we've seen in the last few days delaying some of the harvest. We've got the weak American dollar. You look at the there too. You know, we came out with an acreage number of 87 million, and you know, if you take and you look at that on its face, if we have 154.7 bushels, like they're saying for this year, that takes us down to about a billion bushel carryout. And so I think that, you know, that in itself is going to be very supportive, although the market is certainly going to be waiting for Informer to release their numbers during the day today.
And so what would you think the new short-term upside objective for December futures should be?
Well, I think that, you know, we again are going to see some pretty strong resistance in the corn, but I'd say 374.5 as first resistance. You know, that's the 100-day moving average, you know, and then about that 378.5.
Let's look at the wheat, where this week we did break a head and shoulders top to the downside, and over the last several sessions, including overnight, we continue to bang up against the neckline of that chart but haven't pushed through yet.
Well, that's right, and yet I think, you know, we could possibly see that today, just from the standpoint that we saw Russia come out this morning with the potential for putting more export tariffs in place and preventing more more wheat coming out of that country. And we had some good export sales again. So I think that when you look at the overall picture, even though we saw extra acres come out, I think that's going to be more of a prove it to me. And the market's going to look purely at what the nearby is interested in doing, and that is, of course, the weak dollar supports more export sales, higher trade.
Turn your attention to the calls for today, please.
Corn, we're calling up 1 to 2, basically, you know, right along with the overnights, mixed for beans, and wheat up 10 to 12.
We have about 30, 40 seconds left to look at the Merck. Quickly, what do you see there?
Well, on the hogs, I'd say that they're going to be mixed probably today on large slaughter numbers. They're going to be supported, though, because there's some extremely strong demand in the western part of the Midwest. And live cattle, the call is pretty much the same, mixed. You know, they're just basically going to be waiting for cash trade, although most of us do feel that cash is probably going to trade in that $94 area or a little bit better just because we've seen some better packer bids.
Jackie, we look forward to seeing you this afternoon on Commodity Week.
You bet.
Thank you much. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.